Well, I want to begin with a little poem, and the reason I'm going to share this is this past, was it 2 weeks ago? Yeah, it wasn't this week. It was like 2 weeks ago. I think it was actually the day or two after St. Patrick's Day. I was walking through town, and I saw a house that had both St. Patrick's Day decorations on it and Easter decorations. So I thought, all right, that must mean I'm allowed to share a poem that I wrote in 1997, which celebrates Irish eyes and the joy of Easter. And I wrote this, I think I shared it even back then, but anyhow, it says this: I love to eat my buttercreams, my M&Ms and jelly beans. The baskets, even the plastic grass, remind me of my childhood past. To be with family Easter Day, a nice-sized ham we'll put away. Dessert and all those chocolate eggs add extra weight to my poor legs. Though Easter candy may last a while, this is not the reason why I smile. My Easter eyes are smiling, all because of what they see. Oh, my Easter eyes are smiling, he's no more on Calvary's tree. My Easter eyes are smiling, palm branches we still wave. Yes, our Easter eyes are smiling, he's no longer in the grave. Right, you can figure out where I was going on that one. The poem, thanks. I go on to say, so the greatest treat for you today is not Easter eggs, but Easter eyes. For then your smile will fix upon on the third day he did arise. I want to talk about Easter eyes today. Having Easter eyes. You know, this past week or so, another one of our dear, dear loved ones, Ruth Griffith, went to be with Jesus. I'll tell you, Ruth had Easter eyes. I sat with her, like you saw that video last week we showed, just a couple days before her going to be with the Lord. Her eyes were sure of it. And I want to talk about that today, because our eyes can get heavy. Our eyes, we can lose our spiritual eyesight. And I want us to see today, by the grace of God, that Jesus rose for those who needed to see him. He rose for those whose eyes would light up by the fact that the living Jesus is present with us. And that means the most important thing, the most wonderful thing, is absolutely, as Pastor Greg said in that video, rock solid and dependable. So I want to pray, and then we'll move forward. Father in heaven, how I thank you for the opportunity to come before you in your word. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to know that the evidences of the resurrection are so credible, they're so astounding, that we can find ourselves today having them impact us 2,000 years later. And that's what we ask. However our eyes are today, Lord, we ask you to light us up with Easter eyes. In the name of Jesus, we pray that. Amen. I'm going to read Matthew chapter 28. Before I do, I wanted to mention, along with Ruth Griffith, that her memorial service will be here this coming Friday. There'll be visitation from 9 to 11 ahead of time here, and then the service at 11 if you're able to join and share your love with the family. Matthew chapter 28, verses 1 to 7. Now after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred. For an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his garment as white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come see the place where he was lying, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you. I think I've shared before how my sense of justice and pride, maybe completion, is evident sometimes in the way that I'm disappointed with the ending of movies. Sometimes I want there to be an added scene, right? And I know the film that's been around for several decades now, The Fugitive. I feel Harrison Ford. That's one of those films. You know, great movie, but they accuse him of killing his wife and he didn't, and he goes and they treat him terrible, and in the trial the judge is, you're just a, you know, kind of terrible man, and we're putting you away, and off to jail he goes. The police are sure of it. He's in a train wreck and he gets free, right? And he's trying to figure out who really killed his wife. Meanwhile, the people who really killed his wife are trying to kill him. And the police are still saying, we know he's guilty, doesn't matter how much evidence he comes up with and this and that. Until the very last scene, right? He gets in a car with the FBI guy and drives away. And I'm like, hang on a second. I want that extra scene footage where he goes back in front of the judge and says, hey, judge, you were wrong, right? I told you I was innocent. I want to see him there with all the police officers going, we're sorry. We were wrong. Here we just didn't believe you. You know, kind of that vindication, right? And probably with that, if I'm being honest, if I was Jesus, I probably would not have handled the resurrection the way he did. I probably would have risen from the dead and gone to the soldiers and said, thought you could keep me in, huh? You really? I would have gone and tapped on Herod's palace. Herod, hello. Pontius Pilate, how you doing there, pal? Remember? Yeah, you washed your hands. You thought that you were free of yeah. I would have gone to Caiaphas's house. Hey, Caiaphas, I'm back, right? And that kind of, you know, But I'm glad Jesus didn't do it that way, because his way is far more beautiful. Jesus didn't rise from the dead to come back and show himself to people who were going to be terrified of him. Don't misunderstand me. In our study that we've been doing in Revelation, we're well aware a day is coming when those who have rejected him will find terror at his appearing. But Jesus didn't come back for that. He came back for what? To show himself to those who would be thrilled to see him. And it's beautiful. The way Jesus lights up eyes, that's what was said there. In verse 7, the angel said, he's going before you, you will see him. He's coming for that purpose. He wants to light up your eyes. I every so often nowadays, I kind of feel bad for some of the young men who are asking a gal to marry them, because you guys have a lot more pressure on you today for a multimedia production. That, you know, I nowadays there's sometimes pyrotechnics and there's drones flying overhead and I've said to Greta before, you know, I'm really sorry. Like, we were just sitting in the car and talking, and I asked you if you'd marry me. You know, like, there was no dramatic stuff around. But what's the purpose of all? To catch the moment when it all lights up, right? My favorite part of officiating a wedding is, you know, the vows are obviously the most critical part, but my favorite part is the very beginning, whether it's here or at a venue. When I look at the groom as he sees his bride coming down the aisle. Some are crying, some are smiling, you know, but... their face, right? That's what Jesus wants to do to us. We see it in the Gospels. Let's look first at Mary Magdalene in John chapter 20. There's an account of her there. And Mary Magdalene at this point does not yet have Easter eyes. She's kind of what we would refer to as Saturday's child. She's still living in that day. She that longest day of her life, that day after Jesus was crucified and buried and he's dead in the grave. Devastated. Remember, Jesus changed her life. Jesus changed her life. She was possessed by seven demons. Her life was in the muck and mire. Jesus set her free. And think about it. She's like us in that, you know, there are times in our lives where our sin or our failures or our unfaithfulness, it comes back in our minds. Satan brings it to us. And for Mary, imagine, whenever all those memories came back, I'm just going to look at Jesus. He's changed all of that. There he is. He's the one who's changed it all. It settles all of my past. But now he's gone. He's not there anymore. And her heart is heavy. Her eyes are worn from crying. In verse 2, we see she sees the stone is rolled away. In verse 2 of John 20, she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved and said to them, "They have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." All she has is heavy thoughts because his body is gone. John goes on to talk about Peter and John running to the tomb, but we pick up Mary's story again, Mary Magdalene. In verses 11 to 13, she's by herself. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb. And she beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." See, Mary sees some angels. We might say, wow, wouldn't it be amazing to see an angel? Mary saw angels. It did nothing for her. Angels did not give Mary Easter eyes, right? They've told her, and Mary's saying, what are they doing to his body? Did they throw his body into the Valley of Gehenna, into that trash heap? Are they dragging his body to humiliate it around the streets like we've seen at times in our world? Mary is heartbroken. But remember this. Mary was there in the darkest hour for Jesus. When Jesus hung there on the cross, when Jesus said, "I thirst," he could look down and there she was looking up at him in devotion. When he cried out, "My God, why have you forsaken me?" She was still there. And now in her darkest hour, he's coming to meet her. He's coming for her. He's coming for her. Verse 15 of John 20 tells us what? Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." You know, we have cynics who want to say to us that the disciples planned a fake resurrection and all. What the scriptures are very honest and credible about is what? They're very honest. We weren't expecting it at all. There's a reason why Nicodemus and Joseph Arimathea brought 70 pounds of spices to anoint his dead body. You don't do that if you think he's coming out of the grave in a couple days, right? Mary Magdalene, now Jesus may be veiling his appearance in some way, but the fact is Mary is so grief-stricken. Her eyes are so bloodshot with tears. She knows Jesus is dead, that when he's there talking to her, she still doesn't recognize him. And yet then what happens in verse 16? Jesus said to her, "Mary." And she turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Whew, I mean, I gotta say, you may have some great video about your proposal or some surprise party or whatever. I don't think it could match what happens on Mary's face at this moment. When Mary goes from "my entire meaning in life has died" to "Easter eyes." Oh, wow. He's no longer in the grave. Oh, here he is, present with me. Mary knew
The Lord Jesus was present with her. It was the most important thing. It was the most wonderful thing. Everything else she would see in life, she would see through Easter eyes. How about a couple of the disciples we read about in Luke chapter 24? One of them we get the name of in verse 18. In Luke 24 and verse 18, where we read this, "And one of them named Cleopas answered and said to him," that is to Jesus, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem and unaware of the things which have happened here in these days?" Again, in this passage, they don't recognize him. These are two disciples, and it's the third day. They're hearing rumors that his body's gone and the angel said this, but in their mind, they're just still Saturday's children. He's been crucified. He's been buried. They're lost. They're numb. They're just... And so that you don't know what people have been talking about? Jesus says, "What things?" And they begin to explain them to Jesus. And in verse 23, we read, "And did not find his body. And they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. And some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just exactly as the women also had said. But him they did not see." What did they say there? They had said in verse 21 that we were hoping that he was the one, but all the good news that we considered good news has been crushed because we haven't seen him. We haven't seen him. And what does Jesus do? He does what he did for Mary, right? Here he comes. He's risen for those who are going to be thrilled when they know it. We read in, I already read those verses, right? Verses 23 and 24 about them saying, "We didn't see him," but now Jesus is going to change that. And he starts to explain to them why it was he had to be crucified. And something stirring within them, we'll realize that later, but that what could it be? And what happens, we read there in verse 30, "And it came about that when he had reclined at the table with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and breaking it, he began giving it to them." You almost picture Jesus here, right? You ever in a scene where maybe, I'm trying to even think of an example, you're with somebody and you're doing something and you're waiting for it to hit them, you know? You're waiting for them to go, wait, what? You know? And Jesus is saying, "Here, let me break the bread. Let me break the bread. Let me share it with you." And he's looking at them. And it happens, right? In verse 31, "And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was speaking to us on the road, while he was explaining the scriptures to us?" Oh, what a, you just, that sense of all of a sudden their eyes are open. Ah, boy, we were feeling like, man, wouldn't this be amazing if it's true? And it is. And their Easter eyes light up and boom, he's gone. But he did what he came for, to light them up, that they will see everything different from here on because they have Easter eyes. How about the disciples back there in John chapter 20? After the passage we read about Mary Magdalene, the disciples are where? They're in that upper room. For fear, we're told. They're afraid. They're behind closed doors. And how is Jesus coming for them? Let's read those verses in verse 19 and 20. "When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and when the doors were shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be with you.'" "And when he had said this, he showed them both his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced when they saw the Lord." You imagine being in that upper room. This is probably a familiar place where they're eating, and they may have spent some nights up there before. But being a disciple of Jesus, while He's been crucified. He's in the grave. Your whole world is spinning, and all the memories, and perhaps you're remembering nights where you slept by the Sea of Galilee or somewhere near the Jordan River or out in the wilderness area or whatever. And the difference it made to just in your fears or anxieties, you know, I'm going to go over and lay down next to Jesus' feet tonight. Just, you know, I have so many memories of myself doing that when I was a little kid with my parents. I remember waking up from a nightmare, going into their bedroom. I almost had figured out the minefield, which floorboards squeaked more than others, and how to get, never go to my father's side of the bed, always go around to my mother's side of the bed and get around there and slowly an elbow first, perhaps, start to put some weight down. Thankfully, I was very short and light. And then maybe my hip, or just eventually get that last foot off the ground. They're still asleep. Man, I was out in no time. Complete peace and safety there. I imagine if I was a disciple of Jesus, and it had been that day that we were out on the sea and the storm was blowing, and Jesus stepped up in the boat and said, "Hush," and I watched all the wind and the storm just settle. That night, I probably would have been, I imagine that night Jesus saying to me, get off of my legs, will you? You keep waking me up. I'd have been lying as close to him, you know, maybe even hugging one of them, just because he's here. This is the one who just calmed the storm. I just imagine the presence of Jesus. Now, we can taste it because we miss the physical presence of loved ones. So ones that have been so dear to our lives and they're no longer here, and we just, their presence. But this is more than just a loved one. This is their Savior. This is the one who was changing everything for them. But he's not in the room anymore. And then all of a sudden he is. And then what happens, as we read there, Jesus appears, and what? Their disciples, they rejoiced. You see their Easter eyes? Woo! Lit up with what Jesus has done. He's risen from the dead. One more. How about Thomas follows right there in verses 26 and following. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were inside and Thomas with them. And Jesus came, the doors having been shut, and stood in their midst and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Reach here your finger and see my hands. Reach here your hand and put it into my side. And be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed." Here's Thomas. He hasn't believed any of them. They're saying, "Thomas, he has risen." And Thomas is not saying, "He has risen indeed." He's not saying that. "Well, I don't know what all of you are saying." But Jesus says, "Thomas, you need to see. Come put your hands. Come see my wounds." And Thomas, his eyes light up with Easter eyes. But Jesus says something to him that reaches to us. He says, "Thomas, you have Easter eyes by sight, but I'm going to be calling upon millions of people over at least the next 2,000 years to have Easter eyes by faith, to believe your testimony, and to light up with the truth that I truly am their risen Savior." Whew. Jesus says to us, if you want your eyes to literally see me someday, you have to see me by faith. You have to see me by faith now, right? Because Jesus rose from the dead. He rose from the dead not to go back to Caiaphas and go, not to go to the soldiers and go, ha. He rose to come to people who were longing to see that he is alive and well. People who, when they saw him, they wouldn't run in fear, but people who instead would say, oh, Jesus is alive and present. What is most important and most wonderful will change how I see everything. Do you have Easter eyes today? How's your Easter eyesight? Because Paul prays for that for us in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, the Apostle Paul prays for them, but he's praying for us as well. In verse 18, he prays for us, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe. These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. What does Paul say? I want you to have Easter eyes, eyes that see the resurrection of Jesus. Believe it, that you come in faith and say, I believe he died on the cross as a payment for my sin. I put my faith in him. I believe he rose again on the third day. I believe that he's alive and well, and it changes everything for me. We live in a world with a lot of eyes that have not been changed by Easter. There are a lot of tired eyes out there in this world. There are a lot of angry eyes in our world. There's a lot of envious eyes. There's a lot of fearful eyes. There's a lot of discouraged eyes. And you may even say, I'm a Christian, and I feel like you were just, my eyes have been angry. My eyes have been discouraged. My eyes have been envious. And I know, hey, listen, we're human beings. We're weak. Our eyesight gets drawn down. Oh, why do I have to go through this? But Jesus says there's something that can change it all, right? Get your eyes back on the risen Savior. Soar we now where Christ has led, we sang. Alleluia. Following our exalted head, alleluia. Made like him we rise, alleluia. Ours the cross, the grave, the skies, alleluia. You may say, my eyes see cancer. My eyes see financial debts. My eyes see people who are mistreating me. My eyes see injustice. My eyes see scary things. I know. But if your eyes see the resurrected Jesus, if you get Easter eyes, you'll see all those things in a different way. You'll see all those things knowing that because of Christ, ours was the cross, the grave, but now the skies, resurrection with him, alleluia. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Almighty God, we come to you today and we just thank you. We could spend today like we have on other Easter days talking about the evidences of how clear it is that Jesus was dead and then rose again and was seen, but Lord, our desire today is to have it change us, impact us. I pray if there's anyone here in this room or watching the live stream, Lord, whose eyes haven't lit up with Easter, let it happen right now, right where they sit, whether in a pew or on their sofa. Lord, let them hear that truth. Let them hear you saying, come unto me, all that are weak and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Whoever drinks of the water that I give will well up inside of them a fountain for eternal life. Lord, let them hear your promise Let them hear your promise, Lord, that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Lord, for we, your children, you know our weakness. So often we're tempted to grumble about our world or get angry at our world. Oh God, let our world see our Easter eyes, that we see them through your love and through your resurrection. We pray that in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.